Please stand for our gospel reading this morning. Our gospel lesson comes from Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated.
I invite you to join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. O holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of this Sabbath day, that you've called us together so that we might again hear your word and for your word to be proclaimed. And I ask now, O Lord, that you would be present in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, that you would be present in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You, O Lord, who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. We are in the midst of a four-week sermon series on discipleship. Pastor Caleb and I realize that often we throw around terms like disciple and discipleship, and not everyone really knows what those words, those terms mean. We're not always on the same page with what it means to be a disciple or what is a faith journey of discipleship. And so we're using this sermon series to unpack those two concepts. What is a disciple and what is discipleship? What is a faith journey that would lead us to be faithful disciples? If you were here last week, you heard Pastor Caleb preach on the first of those themes, that a disciple follows Christ. A disciple follows Christ. Not that we fit Christ into our plans, but that we allow Christ to guide us. Pastor Caleb used the term radical reorientation of our life so that our lives truly are transformed, they're changed, because we allow Christ to be our leader and for us to follow behind him, to go where he would go, that he would take us by the hand and perhaps even take us into uncomfortable places, move us out of our comfort zone. But the good news in all that is that we follow Christ, that we follow not kicking and screaming, but that we follow with enthusiasm, for we know that God is with us, that the Holy Spirit is in us. And so we go knowing that God is there for protection and for guidance, that God's presence is there to comfort and to encourage, that God will always use us to the best of our abilities when we follow Christ, when we allow Christ to be our leader. There's a bumper sticker that probably all of you have seen that it says, "Christ is my co-pilot." Well, in reality, Christ is not our co-pilot. Christ is our pilot. Christ is the one that guides us, that leads us, that takes us places. If we only allow Christ to be our co-pilot, we're going to go where we want to go and just assume that Christ is going to follow along. A disciple follows Christ first and foremost. A disciple knows that where Christ will lead is where God would want us, and that that Holy Spirit is there always, always to be a part of that journey. The journey of a disciple will often push us out of our comfort zones. But that journey also is a serious journey. It's a journey that we take time to be prepared for. We take time in the Word. We are involved in spiritual disciplines. We pray about it. It's not something that we glibly go about. We truly take this spiritual journey seriously. And part of that is because it's about our life. It's about our salvation. It's about how we live today and where we'll spend eternity. A disciple of Christ is always ready to go where Christ leads because of that promise that Christ is always with us. God is always with us, and we need not be afraid, but we go bold and courageously where God and Christ would take us. There's another folk saying, which I think has a lot of merit, and it is that God doesn't call the equipped, God equips the called. Which means to me that God just doesn't choose those who are ready, who have all the gifts, who have it all together, but that God chooses those folks whom he wants to use, and then he makes sure that they have everything they need. He doesn't just wait till you have your act together to call you to follow. He calls you now, and then he equips you for that journey. Disciples follow Christ. Disciples allow Christ to lead them in their lives. This week, we're talking about that disciples serve. Disciples not only serve, but disciples serve Christ. Disciples spend their life finding opportunities to serve others as if they were serving Christ themselves. Disciples truly are the arms and legs, the hands and feet of Christ in this world. We tell the story of who Christ is by the way we live, by our actions, how our faith comes alive by what we do. We come together to serve Christ, and to serve all of God's children as we serve Christ. Not just the couple that we feel like serving, but we're called to serve all God's children, regardless of their situation, regardless of where they are. Disciples serve Christ, and they see Christ in everyone they serve. The gospel lesson this morning from Matthew that Pastor Caleb read is the last of three parables that Jesus shares with the disciples right before his arrest. Jesus wants to be sure that the disciples understand who they are, not merely students, but they have an obligation because they're going to help to usher in the kingdom of God and to tell others about the kingdom of God. So the first of those three parables is the parable of waiting for the bridegroom, waiting for Christ to arrive, and how you need to be prepared. You always need to be ready to stay awake, to be watchful. The second of the third parables is about talents. Now, talents in Jesus' day was money, but we often think of talents as the gifts that have been entrusted to us. And in that second parable, Jesus says you don't bury your talents. You invest them, you use them, you do something good with your talents. You bury them only if you're fearful. God has given us talents that we are called to use in kingdom service. The third parable, the one that Pastor Caleb read, is probably very familiar to you. It's the parable that Jesus says to the disciples that whenever you serve the least of my family, the least of my brothers and sisters, you serve me. Now, in that parable, Jesus says the righteous are the ones that will feed the hungry, that will give the thirsty a glass of cold water to drink. They'll visit the sick and in prison. They'll care for the needs of others. They truly will help the homeless and clothe the naked. They'll care for those who are in the most need. And the righteous will say to Jesus, "We didn't see you when we did that. We had no inkling that that was you." But Jesus says, whenever you do that, whenever you care for the stranger in your midst, you serve me. You serve me. We don't always think of ourselves as Christ. We don't see in ourselves Christ. We don't see in the needy in this community Christ's presence. But truly, that's what Jesus is saying here. Whenever you serve another person, another one of the part and parcel of God's great family, you are serving Christ. You are serving Christ. And that's what disciples are called to do, to see Christ in the others. Whenever I hear that passage from Matthew, I can't help but think about Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa was that saintly nun in Calcutta, India, who cared for the lepers in the streets. She truly cared for the poor. And in her book, My Life for the Poor, she writes to the sisters, "I always explain to the sisters, it is Christ you tend in the poor. It is his wounds you bathe, his sores you clean, his limbs you bandage. See beyond appearances. Hear the words Jesus pronounced long ago. They are still operative today. What you do to the least of mine, you do it to me. When you serve the poor, you serve our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, probably none of us would see ourselves as walking in the footsteps of Mother Teresa. We are too comfortable here. We would not go to the streets of India, probably, but someone might be called to do that, to go that far, to reach that far, to do that, to serve Christ. But we all have opportunities here, here and now, to serve our neighbors, to serve this community, to serve others as if they truly were Christ. The epistle lesson that Candy read for us this morning echoes the words of Matthew, echoes the words that were written for the disciples, but now to the whole church, James writes, that unless you actually live out your faith does not mean anything to the larger community. We know that we are saved by faith. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, but that faith is individual. That's faith that saves us. The faith that makes Christ real is the faith that is alive and active in the world. The faith that makes Christ real, that truly tells the story of who Christ is for us, is in the way we serve, the way we give our best selves to others, not counting the cost, not looking for reward, but just as first nature, serving others. Sometimes we talk about serving Christ as our second nature, but truly that should be our first nature. Disciples of Christ serve Christ. They serve Christ in the others that come into our midst. Faith without works is dead, Candy read this morning. And faith without works does nothing to enliven the congregation, enliven the community, bring life into the lives of others. Faith strengthens us, and it strengthens us for that journey to serve, to be in service, to give to others. A close reading of our scriptures, Old and New Testaments, would remind us that that's always been God's intention, that we serve, that we give our best to others, and offer God the praise and the glory for that opportunity. This summer, we had a Bible study on the minor prophets. We don't often spend much time in the minor prophets, but as we read through those, almost each and every one of the 12 minor prophets made the point that we fail God when we fail to care for the oppressed and the poor and those who are in need. We're reminded that that's our calling, that that's a God-given holy calling, not merely an obligation, but a calling on our lives to share that the love that God has given us, to share it, to let it outflow in service to others. Micah says it best. You probably all know these verses from Micah. What does the Lord require of you, O mortal? He requires that you love justice, that you seek kindness, and that you walk humbly with your God. To love justice, to seek kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. That should be the mantra of all disciples, all followers of Jesus Christ. Those three simple rules, not Wesley's three simple rules, but Micah's three simple rules. To love kindness, to seek justice, and to walk humbly with God. That's living into the law of love, the law of love that flows through all of our scriptures, that we are to love God and that we are to love the neighbor, to love others with everything we have, with our heart, with our soul, with our mind, with our strength, to love God and to love others. And love is made real, not in words alone, but truly in actions. Disciples serve Christ out of this great well of love that's been given to us. Disciples don't serve to see what we can get out of it. Serving Christ is not self-serving, but it's always about serving the others, putting the other above ourselves. Christ, of course, embodied this very notion of service above self. If you read through the Gospels, you can't help but miss all the many times that he had compassion on the crowds. He fed them when they were hungry. He healed them. He was unafraid to touch lepers or to let an unclean woman touch the hem of his robes. He reaches out to the demon-possessed so that they might be released and restored. He eats with sinners. He seeks justice for a woman caught in adultery about to be stoned. He brings a widow's only son back to life. He heals the blind. He listens to the wisdom of a Gentile woman with an ill daughter, and Jesus then moves beyond race and faith barriers to bring healing. Whenever Jesus is confronted by a human need, he does what he can to bring healing, restoration, and hope. Jesus lives those words of Micah. He has compassion, he has kindness, he loves, as God loves all his children, and he does so with humility. Remember in the upper room, Jesus himself took on the role of a servant, and in that upper room, he washed his disciples' feet, an act not only of loving service, but of humble vulnerability. Jesus transforms lives by his love and his service. Kindness and compassion are the marks of his journey, and he continues to walk humbly with God, giving God praise and glory for all that he's able to do. So how do we as disciples do this? How do we as disciples serve Christ? How do we serve others? Do we see others as God sees them? Living a Christ-centered life transforms our actions. It changes how we see others. It changes our perspectives. And it changes our hearts above all else. And we can't help but serve. A changed heart calls us, compels us to serve others. In Paul's letter to the Colossians, he writes about the marks of a follower of Christ. Hear these words today as we think about being disciples. Paul writes, "As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Father, through him." Compassion, kindness, humility, love, and patience. Those are the marks of a disciple, of one who would follow Christ and one who would serve Christ. As I mentioned, too often our service is more about what we tend to do in the church. We serve on a committee or a task force. We serve at a Good and Plenty dinner. We serve in one of the many activities that we have here. We help out a friend in need. But to truly serve Christ is to work beyond that, to work beyond what the activities of the church offer. To serve Christ is a lifestyle. It's a transformed life that sees need all around us and does our best to reach that need, to serve those who are in need. One of the classics of spiritual discipline is A Celebration of Discipline, The Path to Spiritual Growth by Richard Foster. And in this book, he highlights the difference between self-serving service or self-righteous service and true service. And I just want to highlight a few things he says. If true service is to be understood and practiced, it must be distinguished clearly from self-righteous service. Self-righteous service comes through human effort. True service comes from relationship with the divine God deep inside. Self-righteous service is impressed with the big deal. It is concerned to make impressive gains on ecclesiastical scoreboards. It enjoys serving, especially when the service is titanic. But true service finds it's almost impossible to distinguish the small from the large service. Self-righteous service requires external rewards. It needs to know that people see and appreciate the effort. It seeks human applause, while true service rests contented in hiddenness. since it is living out of a new center of reference, the divine nod of approval is completely sufficient. Self-righteous service is highly concerned about results. It eagerly waits to see if the person served will reciprocate in kind. While true service is free of the need to calculate results, it delights only in the service. It can serve enemies as freely as friends. Self-righteous service, though, picks and chooses whom to serve. True service is indiscriminate in its ministry. It has heard the command of Jesus to be servant of all. Self-righteous service is affected by moods and whims, while true service ministers simply and faithfully because there is a need. Self-righteous service is temporary. True service is a lifestyle. It springs spontaneously to meet human need. He goes on to say that the greatest gift of true service is a practice in humility. A practice in humility. How to walk humbly with God. True service allows us to do that as we serve Christ and as we serve others. Oftentimes, God works in mysterious ways. You all probably can agree to that. This week, as I was working on this sermon, I kept humming a song. It wasn't a hymn, which often I have an earworm hymn going on most of the time, but it was a secular song by Tim McGraw. And any of you who listen to country music know this song. It's called Humble and Kind. I put the lyrics in your bulletin this morning so that you would have it. And in closing, I'd like you to reflect not only on these words, but the video that goes with it. You'll see some images there of people from different places who are still God's children. How do we serve those? How do we serve the others? Christ calls us to serve all as faithful disciples.
There's a light that glows by the front door. Don't forget the keys under the mat. When childhood stars shine, always stay humble and kind. Go to church 'cause your mama says to. Visit grandpa every chance that you can. Won't be wasted time. All forget, turn back around. Help the next one in line. Always stay humble and kind.
You might not feel called to be a Mother Teresa, but my prayer is that we will all feel called to always live humble and kind. That we will live by those words of Micah, to love kindness and to seek justice and to walk humbly with God, and to remember what Jesus said. Truly, I tell you, just as you fed the hungry, as you gave the thirsty a glass of cold water, a cup of cold water, just as you welcomed the stranger, just as you clothed the naked, just as you cared for the sick, just as you visited the imprisoned, you did this unto me. May it be so. May we be disciples who serve Christ. Amen.